Hello, brothers and sisters. You might be wondering, what is this kid doing there behind the pulpit? He's way too young and inexperienced to teach us something, and you are right. I'm both of those things. However, I feel like God has put a message in my heart, and I would love to share it today. I'm extremely grateful for this opportunity. Now, I didn't come here to teach you anything new. I'm sure you guys know more than me. I'm far too young to be a teacher, but I came here to remind us all of a very important but unpopular subject in the Bible. Now, before I get into it, let me introduce myself a little bit more properly. My name is Bogdan Marushkovich. I am a 22 graduate from Parker High School. I know it's a pretty big accomplishment. And I actually visited your church around 2 years ago with our band director, Mrs. Mindy Bernsteel. We performed a song with a couple of my classmates, and I actually performed a saxophone solo. That was like 2 years ago. You probably don't remember that, but I remember you guys. And I'm extremely grateful to be back, even though I do not know any of you. It feels great to be in the house of the Lord. Now, I'd like to start off by sharing a little story, a little testimony about me. I was actually born in Ukraine, and we moved to the U.S. when I was around 6 years old. Now, prior to that, before I was even born, my mom was carrying me, and I think it was her second trimester or third trimester. And my parents were sleeping, my older sister was sleeping, and there was a gas leak in our room, and carbon monoxide started filling up the room. Now, what happened is my older sister started crying, and my dad woke up. He crawled out of the room. He got a fresh breath of air. Then he came running back inside, got my mom and my sister, and they rushed them to the emergency. My mom had carbon monoxide poisoning, and the doc... what happened is the doctor said that there was no point of keeping the baby. They should probably have aborted me. And they kept saying all these things. And my parents stayed faithful to the God. They said, you know what? This is a very hard time for us, but we're going to trust the Lord. We're going to pray about it. And then a couple of months later, popped out a pretty healthy and pretty cool, well, at least I'd like to think he's kind of cool, kid, me. Now, for you that are still scratching their head thinking, what is his name? The first half of my name means God, and the second half means giving. So my name just translates to a gift from God, and they decided to name me that. Now, I'm not trying to share my whole autobiography here. There's a reason to this. Trust me, it ties directly to the sermon. Now, every time I failed or had a really hard time in my life or tribulations or in my spiritual journey, I always remember this story every single time. I remember what God has done for me, and I remember that He has a plan for me. Like He says in Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and I knew that God had a great plan for me. And He has a great plan for each one of us. Now, I'm positive you all have amazing stories about all the mighty works of God in your lives. Some of us are younger, some of us are older, some are experienced, some are inexperienced. But what do we have all in common? We all can remember the goodness and faithfulness of God in our lives. Now, I titled this sermon with one word, remember. That's going to be easy to remember. See what I did there? Okay, anyways, I'd like to examine a specific chapter in the Bible. So can we turn to Psalm 77? I'm going to just touch on bits of it, and then we're going to go back and examine it a little closer. Now, Psalm 77 is split into three main sections. The first one is when the psalmist is in a place of hopelessness. He cries out to the Lord. He continues to say things like, "My soul refuses to be comforted. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Has His steadfast love forever ceased? Are His promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in anger shut up His compassion?" So the first part of this chapter is when the psalmist, in complete desperation, he's seeking God. He's crying out to the Lord. As we look a little further, the second part of this chapter is going to be when he remembers God's good deeds and meditates on His miracles and mighty acts. Verse 11 and 12 are going to be the main ones in this chapter. He says, "I'll remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I'll remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty hand, mighty deeds." And the final and third section of this chapter is going to be when there's an outpouring of praise and worship. He says things like, "What God is great like our God?" So just a second ago, he was asking questions such as, "Has God forgotten to be gracious?" And at the end of this chapter, he continues to say things like, what God is great like our God? His mentality completely changed. He continues to say things like, you with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. This is referring to when they were crossing the Red Sea. It continues to say, the earth trembled and shook. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now, this memory of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea happened around 450 years ago before the psalmist was writing this. And the importance of this is because he was in a place of hopelessness, and then he was in a place of hope, a place full of praise and worship, all because he remembered, all because he meditated on God's miracles and what God has done for him. Now, let's look a little bit deeper into each of these sections and see how they apply to our lives today. So, as we already know, the first section is when the psalmist is in a state of hopelessness. So, do we have times of hopelessness, times where you're sad, when we are grieving, when we are troubled? For example, because I'm from Ukraine, the war really impacted us. The second day of the invasion, my dad found out that his uncle passed away. He was a tank driver. And I remember hearing these stories, my relatives telling me, the ones that live in Ukraine, you know, we have rockets flying over our heads. And just a couple of days ago, my aunt received news that she has leukemia. So throughout all of these situations, I've seen my parents' troubled faces. I'm only 18 years old, but I know that the world ain't a perfect place. I've experienced troubled times, and I'm sure many of you have experienced a lot more of it. But Jesus himself said that we will have tribulations. We will all have moments in our lives when we are in a state of hopelessness, just like the psalmist. However, there's a way out. Let's look at our second part of the chapter. When the psalmist remembers the deeds of the Lord and meditates on God's miracles. Now, remembering isn't passive. It's an action. An action that brings the power of Jesus into our lives. How do we compare this part of the chapter to our lives today? I really like to think about this like stargazing. Any of you guys like stargazing? No hands? Okay. Well, I do. I love stargazing. And when you go outside and you start looking into the sky and your eyes aren't used to it, and you see a couple of stars, but the more you pay attention to them, the more you see around them. That same thing happens in our lives when we start to remember what God has done for us. The more we remember, the more we see of God's goodness and faithfulness in our life. Now, we can remember things like the biblical times through scripture, the number one thing being Jesus Christ dying for us. This is something we should all remember every day, especially for like communion. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? His sacrifice on the cross should be something we should all remember. We can remember the miracles Jesus did. We can remember the flood and the covenant that God made with us with the rainbow. That is something that we should remember. And all these wars, the stories in Egypt, Moses, and countless examples in the Bible all show God's miraculous ways. Now, we can also remember our personal experiences today, God's work in our life today. Like his mercy renews every morning. That is something we should think about. We should think about and remember the personal prayers God answered to us, the miracles that happen in each one of our lives. I remember, it can be the little things too. I remember I couldn't start my lawnmower and I gave a little short prayer and it worked, you know? So all those little things add up and, it just makes your relationship so much stronger with God. Now, we can remember, but we can also forget, and forgetting is an extremely dangerous path. When we forget, we start to think and have the mentality of, it's impossible. God seems to become less powerful and acting in our lives because we grow further away from God. When the Israelites came to the promised land, they forgot that God had fought for them. All the previous battles that they have won, God has been fighting for them, yet they forgot, and that's when they fell. That's when they pay the consequences. Even the disciples forgot some of the things Jesus did. One of these instances is found in Mark 8, 14 through 19, which I'm also going to read. This is after Jesus already, he already did a bunch of miracles. He fed the multitude of 5,000 people, the multitude of 4,000 people. And this is talking about the disciples talking. Now, they had forgotten to bring bread, and they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? And do you not remember When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? They said to him, 12. So even his disciples, some of the most looked upon people in the Bible, still had moments when they forgot about God's deeds and God's works. I can also relate this to my personal life. For example, we had a couple of storms hit Parker. And each time a storm hit, I would go around our property and make sure we had no damage. And one time I forgot to park our cars in the shop, and we had a really big hailstorm, and it damaged all of our cars. And I remember being there like, oh God, come on, why would you do this? And it just hit me. I was like, I forgot to thank him for all those other times that he has been faithful, that he has protected us. And the moment there was a singular trial, my faith started to lack. You know, it's really embarrassing. I remember being in the gym, just working out, and being like, stuff would happen that I didn't want, or it just wouldn't go my way in life. And in all those moments, when I forgot God, when I forgot what he'd done for me, it would just push me further and further away. Now, imagine your spouse telling you, happy anniversary, and you go, honey, wait, it's our anniversary day? Oops, I forgot. Imagine how mad and disappointed your spouse will be. You're definitely sleeping on the couch after that one. Now, imagine telling God, oops, I forgot all the things that you have done for me. There are no legitimate excuses for this to happen. Trust me, I've tried finding them, and I failed every single time. Now, we already talked about the first part of this chapter and the second part. Let's look at the final part. Part 3, the outpouring of praise and worship happens as the psalmist recalls the glory of God. Why is it important to remember, you might ask? Well, because the psalmist went from being hopeless and in despair to being hopeful and his heart full of praise, all because he remembered what God has done. If we remember, we receive hope and joy because everything is possible for God. And we have proof of this if we remember the biblical stories, if we remember the moments in our lives when God has answered our prayers for miracles, we receive hope and joy. Our relationship with Christ grows stronger. Now, it is also scientifically proven that we need to hear or read a message about 7 times for it to be remembered. I'm sure some of you guys know how that goes. But humans learn and remember by repetition. If we practice remembrance of what God has done for us, we will allow our faith to grow even more. Now, before the end of this sermon, I'd like to read a final passage found in Isaiah 49:14. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. If the Lord will not forget us, so let's not forget him. By recalling what God has done for us and for others, faith is restored, joy is uncovered, and our hearts turn from despair to praise. As the psalmist goes on in chapter 78, he encourages us all to teach future generations about Jesus and the glorious works of our Lord. You have the power to influence and inspire your children and grandchildren by remembering what God has done. Let us remember every day and meditate on what the Lord has done for us. Let us put our trust and faith in him, for he is our rock and our fortress. Let us praise and worship him, for he deserves it. Amen. Probably the shortest sermon you guys have heard.